Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Cole.
What up?
Turn the SEC mixtape, man.
You talking about Bonzo Show?
Yeah. See what they talking about real quick on these game.
All right, here we go. 4th and 18 for the Tigers. Here's your ball game. Nick Marshall stands in, steps up, going to throw downfield. Just a home run ball, and it is tipped off. And Lewis caught it on the second. Lewis is going to score. Lewis is going to score. Lewis is going to score.
SEC Mixtapes, hosted by Bonzo.
The realest coverage in the spot.
G. Willis.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're having some technical difficulties, man. But we're back in there now.
Oh.
Apologize for those first 3 minutes of absolutely nothing. We'll go back and snip those out to show if anyone has moved on with us. But definitely have some issues going on there. But I'm going to keep playing with things till we get that all figured out. But until then, what's new? What's new, G. Willis?
Oh, man, we got decommitments going on and all kind of, I guess, just recruitment talk with some of the bigger talk this week. I've been out on vacation, so I might be out the loop a little bit. What you got?
Man, decommitments. There have been one or two decommitments, man.
I made some calls about them, man. I was checking on them.
Yeah, man, it's just been a few, man. Just the normal, you know, recruiting stuff, you know, recruiting slow, blah, 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 this and that. Tennessee gets another one, of course.
Tennessee gets another one.
You know, but Buzz Jones continues to reel them in at an unprecedented rate for the University of Tennessee. Does he finally put it together?
How long, though, Bonzo? How long will it last?
I mean, does he finally put it together?
No, man. It's just like I was talking to somebody today. I talked to a couple of guys, man, over the break who knew a lot about some sports-type issues, man. And I'm starting to think, man, I'm just going to say it. Georgia and Tennessee got their checkbooks out, man. They got them out. I'm just being real with you, man. That's what I'm hearing in the pipeline. I mean, we all know what happens. I mean, anybody who listens to what we do, which is a podcast, blog talk, or whatever it is, they understand sports. We know our audience, and our audience understands that these teams and these kids are giving these kids some of what they deserve because they generate so many funds for the school. So, yeah, I would take it. Yeah, I would definitely take it. I'm not the only person that feels that way. I don't think it matters what color or race you are. If your family is in need, you're in need, you're a student. Matter of fact, I tweeted out some stuff yesterday. Did you see it, Bonzo?
What'd you tweet out?
I tweeted out. Everybody's familiar with Oprah. you know, when she gives out the whatever gift it is, a vacation to Puerto Rico, well, they made a parody of Shula, of Nick Saban. They put his face on Oprah's body and said, "You get a car, you get a car." And they showed all of the Alabama players' cars. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And it was just, it was amazing some of the cars these young men have to say that they're college students. Again, we switched gears and talked about Alabama just then, but I'm not going to point the finger at them today. I'm talking about Tennessee and Georgia. And since we're talking about commitments, I think this is a pretty good topic because I talked to some insiders, you know, who were definitely saying the decommitment from Dalvin Cook's younger brother had a lot to do with not only the fact that he's not Dalvin Cook and he was afraid of that, but that he, you know, it was a better deal at Georgia. I'm like, wow.
So has he committed to Georgia?
He has not committed to Georgia yet. So if you, and this is stuff that I don't normally do on the air. This is stuff that we talk about behind the scenes. But if he commits to Georgia, you didn't hear it from me. Hey, and I have no drink sponsor tonight, by the way.
Well, okay.
That means I'm not drinking, as he says. This is sober me. What you got on that, man? Am I out there by myself on this, or are you going to be political tonight?
I'm not. I'm going to be honest. Kirby Smart, first and foremost,
has just been recruiting at a – man, he's been doing pretty good recruiting, man. And, I mean, since he's been there last year, he really survived off of offering playing time. Offering playing time, okay? So this year, since he really can't ride that horse anymore, you know, you've seen his recruiting slow down. You've seen it slow down. So what you're saying is the reason that it's picking back up is because the checkbooks are out of control right now. Correct?
Okay.
I'm making sure I understand you correct.
Yeah, say it again. Say it one more time. Make sure you said it right.
So you're saying that Georgia's no longer offering playing time. They're offering money.
Well, here's the thing.
Pay for play.
Right. From what I've heard is the fact that they probably so many freshmen that are coming in this year, they don't have a case of playing time. Now you have to beat who's in front of you. So now they're offering what every other team is offering. Let's just put that out there. They're offering the money. We all know it. Billy's sitting quiet like he don't know what I'm talking about. And that's quite amazing. But, I mean, we've had this topic before about these kids getting what they deserve. Right? And everybody, I think, on the show has commented on that. But it's kind of, you know, I've learned of stuff that's going on right now. And I'm not going to put down Cook's butt. Let me take that back. I'm not saying that he's definitely going to get a check, but this is what I'm hearing, that they're offering more. And sometimes when a package comes to these kids, there's more to it than money. It could be other stuff other than playing time and money. It could be jobs. It could be anything other than the obvious. Because you got to look at it like this. Dalvin Cook's brother's family is going to have some money coming in because they have another son who's now playing for the Vikings. So it's not like they're poor right now.
Why would they need a check from Georgia?
Right.
And why
right.
Not,
so
why not that Florida State just have two stud freshman running backs that you always say, why go somewhere and not play?
I definitely say that.
Whereas Georgia has one stud coming in, and we know Georgia do the 1-2 punch and add him to that class. Why wouldn't he be thinking that way?
Well, Georgia, now Bronzo, tell me this. Now, didn't Georgia get this year a 5-star running back?
Yes, the number one running back
in
the class. Yes.
Okay.
Zeus.
No, I'm talking about that's going to be playing this year. Not in coming
no,
next
they
year.
No, they
did
get a 5-star. They got a 5-star last year, DeAndre Swift.
Right.
He's pretty
right.
good, but honestly, I don't think he'll man, Georgia's loaded.
Well,
with
Cook
the
is a 4-star. Cook is a 4-star. He's not.
Mm-hmm.
He's not yet 5-star. So, If Swift is already a five-star, then they have another guy who's the best running back in the class who's coming in with him. So that'll be three running backs and maybe more, because you got to look at other guys they've recruited in the last 2-3 years. Let's say, for instance, Evander Holyfield's son, if he's still there, and they have other running backs that are there. He has a host of running backs he has to compete with. And we're talking about a four-star running back, not a five-star. Five-star means what? You're immediately supposed to go in and play immediately. You're not supposed to be waiting and watching. Five-stars are – that's why they're five-stars. Let's just define what it means. You're supposed to play immediately. So I don't see how the scenario differs.
Somebody better tell your defensive end that, then. He's been there, what, going on the third year?
That, ouch. He stepped on my toes and my fingers. I'm sorry. I wasn't ready for that one. But, yeah, you're right.
I'm just saying, I keep telling everybody, a four-star. Byron
Coward is who we're speaking about. Well, every five-star is not paying out.
A four-star.
Every five-star is not paying out.
Is a five-star athlete dang near everywhere else.
Hmm. Well, what you think, Bonzo?
I disagree. I disagree.
That's fine.
But well,
I wouldn't be putting out in the air allegedly telling people that colleges are paying money and giving cards.
Oh, I will. I don't mind. I don't care. They doing it.
That's
you know,
that's crazy.
I do have a kind
as,
of a beef
a media,
with
as
that.
A media outlet.
we're a media outlet that represents the barbershop. Again, we talk about what we talk about in the chair when you're sitting there waiting on your haircut. So again, I'm saying what they don't want to say. Right.
Well, you know what, man, I got kind of a. I want to play devil's advocate with that, man. Why every time it's a black athlete, man, people automatically go to the kid supposedly being poor and needing a check? You know, I don't, you know, this cat.
That's a good point.
You know, I'm serious. Every time it's a black athlete, man, you hear all this stuff, man. People, you know, talk crazy. Well, he needed some money. You know, man, and that's not always
dude, got
the case,
a brother,
man.
A brother that got drafted in the first round of the NFL draft.
Exactly.
He should be straight.
Exactly.
Billy,
that's a scapegoat that people go to, you know, really fast, man, when it comes to, you know, young black athletes. They want to throw money out there.
Well, okay, let's look at it like this. Even though that may be true. Even though their family may have money, it's still they're giving you money directly. That's a little different than getting money from your family. It's a little different. So,
I
I'm putting it to you like I've spoken, and we have also on this show spoken to some moms, and they have said, I don't know what my son is doing sometimes. They handle talk to the coaches, and I have talked to them on my own. So sometimes you don't know what this coach is telling this young man. Not saying that that's what's happening all the time. But we know for a fact, I don't know why we're disregarding this on this show tonight, that schools pay athletes. Why is it a
no
shocker
doubt.
Tonight?
I don't know why. Don't pay athletes.
Now, I don't know why we're running from the issue. It seems like I'm the only one, and I say that out loud, who can say it and mean it. And I don't have a problem with it. The fact that I would definitely want to be paid.
I'm just saying the case that you're talking about with that with Cook brother. I don't think that's the issue.
Well,
it shouldn't be the issue.
I don't think that playing time is a factor when it comes to him going to if he goes to Georgia.
And he hasn't
even
made a decision yet.
Exactly. So that's my thing. What's the scenario? Is this? It's the same thing at Georgia. It might be more running back to Georgia right now. So with him running from now, getting out of his brother's shadow, I think would be major. I think that would have something to do with it. Because from what I hear, he's definitely not Dalvin Cook.
That's not
two,
what
two
I
different
heard.
Running backs.
I just heard that it's a issue with attitude and all kind of stuff. They said that's why
I didn't hear that at all.
Removed them from the board, period.
Wow. Now, that's deep. That's deep. Now, that's what we need to hear. That's the negative
look,
stuff I heard, and which is true stuff. We need to talk about it.
I mean, but if my thing is, it seemed like he should be able to go right there and be happy at the University of Miami or the University of Florida.
Well, okay, you know, that's just like you being a five-star athlete, Billy, and saying, you know what, I'm a five-star. I think I'm just going to play at USA. You don't want to be at home. You want to get away and be off on your own, so to speak.
USA,
you know, you don't want
to
be
USA
at home.
USA, go back to Miami either.
bad example. Okay.
Exactly.
You don't want to be at home is my point, Billy. Most guys don't want to be at home. Some guys love being at home. Some guys, matter of fact, the example we talked about last week with the guy from the that transferred back to Jackson State that was at Mississippi State.
If I'm a five-star and I decommit from Mississippi State or Ole Miss and I bypass Alabama and Auburn and go to Georgia, that makes sense to me.
It happens.
Yeah, it does.
There's some kids out of where going to matter of fact, it's a lot of kids in your backyard that commit to LSU like it's no problem at all. No problem.
Exactly.
And I think it's a regional type thing. Huntsville, some of the better athletes out of Huntsville will end up going to Tennessee, which I've seen. Joey Kent, I may have gone back too far for you. Joey Kent was an athlete out of Huntsville and went to Tennessee.
Wide receiver.
Say what now? Exactly.
Wide receiver.
Exactly. Went to church with me. Went to church with me. Yeah, I mean, that stuff just happens. By me living in Birmingham, it's mainly Alabama and Auburn. You see a couple of kids from this area who will go to a Mississippi school. You got to remember that I think – which one's closer to is Oxford or Starkville? I want to say
Starkville is really close to Starkville is pretty close to Tuscaloosa. Tuscaloosa.
Starkville is like 80 miles from Tuscaloosa.
Right. So you'll see a lot of in both schools. Like matter of fact, in my community, you'll see a lot of Ole Miss tags, a lot of Mississippi State tags. On any random day, I mean it's quite a big population of those fans here in the city. So. It's just I really think it depends on the region you're in on where these kids are thinking about going, and sometimes it's because of where their parents or what they grew up doing. I don't think when it comes to that guy, again, going back to the Cook running back, I mean, we don't know what it is. Again, we're speculating as media, as the type of media that we are, and we're just speculating on what he could possibly be doing, you know, for our viewers' sake. I mean, my opinion is, like I said, is, it's irrelevant at this point, you know, what his actions may be or why he's doing it. You know, I'm just putting it out there that this is in the pipeline. So don't kill the messenger, Bonzo and Billy.
Hey, man,
like you said, you get your hair cut. That's your statement.
hey, exactly, man. Hey, if that's what you want with your number 13, you can go ahead. But
Right. Man. I mean, I hope that God does what's best for him in the long run because, you know, that's what we all want for these kids is for them to do the right thing and to, make the best out of their college careers because all of them are not going to make it. And that's the true life story, this whole thing, everything that we do when it comes to SEC Mixtape is really trying to help these kids make the right decision or just to show them what's going on out there. That's why we're trying to initiate getting to some football camps, getting to some of these commitments and, you know, dates and talking to these kids and seeing where their head is so we can educate the youth on some stuff like that they won't see until it hits them. You know, we talked to Sean Shriver's mom last week about some of the same issues we're talking about today, and that's basically, you know, some of the stuff that you don't see coming from the viewer's perspective. So, I think that's some of the spotlight that we're trying to portray to our viewers, no matter how many they are, we want to get that out to them. So that's basically my issue, my point today. Thank you for your time. God bless.
Man, that was brutal, man. Dang. Can we get a hug for G Willis, man? Hey, G Willis just went Jay-Z 444 on us. You know what I'm saying? Hey, y'all. Oh, so now y'all ain't down. Oh. Hey, man, we want to bring you back. We want to bring you back,
man.
Too, G. Sheesh,
yeah,
man. You know, I
just
ain't going to take too many more of them. Sheesh.
Y'all got too big for the hood, hey, man. Y'all need to come on back, man.
Been a
y'all
dude,
got too
he
big for the hood.
Now, man.
Yeah.
He threw doo-doo on the wall.
It's fun to pour that on him.
Man. Well, dude. Got me told and whoever else.
Yeah.
Look here, man.
Let's get back into the content. Content.
Let's get some content, man. Today, you know, topic of the show, does SEC defenses of the past finally return? You know, the SEC has been known for defense. Historically,
this is
the
SEC a very short
known
show.
For defenses.
Let's just say
however,
no.
Well, man, there it is then. No. G Willis just killed it. Let's go with it, G.
Well, no, let's back it up a little bit. I think, and this
out.
Is just.
You just tell me better or worse. Will they be better or will they be worse?
It's definitely worse.
Okay, every team in the SEC? No defense?
Oh, no. I thought that you meant overall. Overall, worse. You said SEC getting back to what it used to be in the old school.
Overall, the SEC defenses will take a step back this year.
Not from what it was. You want to say, let's go back in the 80s when defenses were awesome. No, they're not there yet. Alabama
man,
is.
Were defenses – wait a minute. I got to stop you, man, because I always
please stop me.
Say that. I got to hit the brakes on you. Were defenses that awesome in the 80s, or were offenses just not as awesome? I mean, now you have rules that favor the offense.
Since
you
Bill
have,
is
you
the
have
oldest.
All these different, you know, high-caliber offenses out there now.
I
want
to hear
so,
Bill's opinion on this. Love to hear
go ahead. I mean, I'm just asking.
He's 70 years
what's
old.
Opinion,
I'm sure
Bill?
He saw different decades of football. Let's see what would happen in the 80s, Bill. Let's go.
Well, a lot of it wasn't running the spread. You weren't running the up-tempo, so you weren't getting as many reps. The offense wasn't getting as many reps as they were back then as it was now.
I disagree. I'm doing a bonzo. I disagree. Oklahoma, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Nebraska was putting 80 points on teams, man, with the wishbone. So, yeah, they didn't run the spread. But
we're talking about that.
Overall, okay. But we're still talking about teams that were scoring 80 points on teams in the 80s.
Well,
there's no match because you had your fire team.
That's a double-edged sword. If Oklahoma was scoring 80 points on teams back then, that means defenses weren't all that back then, correct?
Oh,
that's my point.
Goodness.
But he was saying my point is this. The offense is saying don't match what we have today. Now, they are more wide open, but they score points is my issue. They scored the points. So we can't say that the offenses, the way he put it, were not as effective as these offenses are today.
You didn't let me get through putting it no kind of way.
Bonzo about to whoop me. Let me listen to Bonzo. Go ahead, Bonzo.
No. Hey, Billy, I'm going to let you get him first. Go ahead,
Billy.
Go ahead. I'm going to sit back and watch that. I'm going to sit back and watch on this.
Go ahead, Billy. No, don't know y'all be
you're
scared, though. Let me hear what you got.
You talking about one or two teams out of the whole
college? It's more than that. Way more than that.
One.
You want me to name
teams.
Them all? Georgia,
you can.
Miami, Auburn, Alabama,
Georgia
all of them were doing this back then. Georgia didn't do it, but they had a great offense. You telling me when Herschel Walker was there, they didn't score any points?
I'm telling you that University of Florida under Steve Spurrier and doggone Oklahoma, the Oklahoma team that you're talking about, scored the most points at SMU, if you want to go back as far as you want to go back.
Well, that's too far back. That's too far back. That's too far back.
Scored more points than any school there was, and those records were just now being broken.
And it's quite a few more teams than that. Did Georgia Tech not do it?
I tell you what. I'm just going to sit back and let y'all talk because I can't throat wrestle with y'all on the phone.
Oh, man. So I tell you you're going to lose, but go ahead.
Go ahead.
Now
go
quiet.
Ahead.
My only point is this, Billy, and you're naming off teams. I get that. My only point was that these teams scored just as much points, which means their offense was there. That was my only point. So it could be 1 to 10 teams. It could be more than that, but you got to understand, back in the 80s and the late 70s, you had a couple of teams that were great. The rest of them fell off. Am I right or wrong? Notre Dame scored those points. So you're looking at those teams. Everybody went to Michigan, Notre Dame, Nebraska, Oklahoma. These were your power teams back then. And those teams doubled up on every team they played. Right or wrong, Billy?
Tried to say is,
okay,
of today, still outscored the scores that those teams played back then. Reason being, they run in a hurry up tempo. They get the ball. I think Clemson showed you in the championship game. They got the ball 90 some times. You have more opportunities to score. No, they did not score a whole bunch of points like what we're talking about. But there are teams like that does that. Oregon, it was an example for one of them. Baylor was another one. Baylor was one. Texas Tech was another. Kentucky under Hal Mumme was another one. Tennessee, toward the late end of T. Martin's, the last year, he was another one that put up points. Florida under Steve Spurrier put up a lot of points.
It was before that.
Miami doing they run. They put up a lot of points.
Who was the running back Tennessee had in the 80s? But when Bo Jackson was there, they put up a lot of points when he was there. It wasn't Rozier, was it?
No, I don't think so.
Whatever his name was, they put up a lot. I remember him and Bo used to go at it.
But what I'm saying is the defenses had to catch up. And when the defense
well, they did.
Up, they
so my question is this to you. From what you remember from the SEC, let's look at Auburn's defense in the 80s. Were they not a powerhouse?
Powerhouse? As far as shedding everybody out?
They were an electric-type defense. They not only – let's look at some of the players off these teams because I'm not saying that you don't remember them, but I think we're missing each other a little bit. Andre Bruce, Tracy Rocker, David
Rocker.
Number
one pick at the Atlanta Falcons.
Right, and they had – these were electric – I mean, they were awesome. I mean, they had everything. They were getting the interceptions. They were getting the awesome tackles. They were getting all of the blitzes and the quarterback sacks. This is what we're missing now. And not just say college football, but definitely at Auburn. We don't have a lot of that at Auburn. Now, they're still doing great things. Auburn's defense is much better than they have been. But my thing is then the defense was the staple of the team. You know, Auburn would not outscore you back then. It was all defense, basically. Bo Jackson would get loose, but it would be several series that they wouldn't score.
I'm gonna tell you something about the 80s and the SEC during that time, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there really wasn't no powerhouse team in the SEC then. I mean, they beat up each other, and yeah.
That's true.
And Darden here, you come from LSU, and they run they beat Alabama, then Alabama beat them. It wasn't nothing really going on.
Yeah,
everybody
I agree with that. That's a good point.
You're right. I mean, but what's this powerhouse you talking about?
Well, again, from my perspective, and I said that, I'm saying that again. The defenses were better all around. They were better all around. It might be because of your point. The offenses were just so slow because you had a lot of running teams. There wasn't a lot of pass. But I remember some great defensive teams.
Hey, look.
And not just Alabama's always had a great defense.
Hey,
I'm listening.
just because you seen Andre Bruce make a sack and then after the game, he came up to a little 9-year-old kid and said, "Hey, kid, catch," and threw you his jersey. Don't mean that that was a dominant defense.
It was Tracy Rocker.
Do
it
not mean
him,
that
was
that was
Tracy
a dominant
Rocker.
Defense.
I remember Auburn being very dominant. That was one of the things that we talked about a lot back then.
The better defense was when they had Rodgers playing cornerback. I believe that defense was better than with the defense you talked about.
They were good. They were good. They were good. Yeah, that was the 2000. What team was that? Yeah, I get what you're saying because I know you don't remember years.
Yeah,
when it comes to Auburn, at least.
Nah.
Okay, Bonzo, you can come on back in. Now we done. Come on back.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hey, fellas, man, I just listen to y'all slug it out, man. I can see what both of y'all saying, but honestly, man, I think that offenses are just a totally different monster now, man. They're a totally different monster due to these 7-on-7 tournaments that people are going through now, man. Players are just better. Quarterbacks are better passers at younger ages. And then you have this, you know, dual threat thing, which used to be unheard of. I mean, let's be honest. Racial issues played a big part in this. I'll bring it in. I'll say it first. You know, used to be, okay, fast black kid, played quarterback in high school. Let's put him in wide. Everybody got
hello.
You know, Charlie Ward. Hello.
Yeah, you were going out.
Yeah,
that was another awesome offense. That's
you know,
good.
So
that's
so
good reference.
You know, so now you have all these different, you know, type offenses going, man. And I think the defenses this day and time, defensive coordinators this day and time have a lot more to worry about than defensive coordinators did back then. Just my opinion. Like Billy said. You know, some of these games, man, offenses snap off over 90 plays. Man, that is insane. That is crazy.
Tell me
why
we don't have games. And this isn't me trying to get at you, Bonzo, but tell me why now in this day and age we don't have a lot of games that you score 60 and 70, 80 points. What happened to those games?
You're not watching them?
I can tell you. No, I'm
asking y'all
those games. No.
That's the question.
No, recruiting got better. Recruiting got better across the board. You know, a lot of these really small schools, they used to just really have basically club football teams. You know, there are more recruits to go around. Even the smaller schools are significantly better than they would have been. Coaching is better. Training is better. Even kids you see some of these kids who get D3 scholarships. You look at their high school. You look at their high school statistics, and they were pretty good. They were pretty good. So, and you have these players, let's say, leaving the SEC and going to some of the smaller schools. So, I think the smaller schools are just able to compete better, and it's not a whole bunch of 5-star recruits going against a whole bunch of frat boys. To be honest,
I just don't think you're looking at those games because when I go to the bookie. I see a bunch of them score 60 and 70 a week. You got your Western Kentucky.
No,
you got your
he said
I'm talking about your bigger schools. I get what you're saying. But
same way you don't see it in the pros. I mean the competition level of competition is more higher.
You look at
them.
It like this. Like when Auburn per se plays Alabama A&M, they only score 55 points on them, man. Only 55 points. We're talking about a SWAT school, and they only dropped 55 on them.
I mean, what
and
did
it
you
was
want to do?
And that was late.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it was a good game.
Because I watched
it. Game
yeah, I was watching clips of it this past weekend. Yeah, they had to come back to get 55. It was like third quarter. They only had 30 points.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my question. I don't know how to answer that. I mean, I question it all the time. I mean, but that's a good point, Bonzo, that the competition
exactly,
is better.
No, what exactly is your question? I'm interested.
My question is, why don't we have that type scoring? My question was only
this.
I said, wasn't getting that. Go ahead. You asked me a question. Go ahead.
You're asking why don't teams score, like, 70 and 80 points? Because
yeah,
it's
that's
not basketball. It's football, man.
Well, no. What you're missing is it happened a lot.
No, man,
it happened a lot.
It did not.
You're missing the question. Let me ask it one more time. I'm asking.
It's mindset. When you said we only scored 55, you talked directly from Gus Malzahn's mindset. Because if he could have, he would have scored 84. But you worked your ass off for them 55.
They did, and that's my problem. But this is what I'm saying. Like we were talking about, you know, years ago. Like in the beginning of the year, which they call those tune-up games, they were going to score. I remember Tommy Frazier and those guys, Colorado, those teams would score, I mean, 80 points, no problem. 70, 60 points, like this is crazy. But I'm just saying what happened to that. I wasn't getting at you, Bonzo.
I just asked you, why can't they score
like that anymore?
Without looking, I haven't looked at one statistic at all. I guarantee you that there hasn't been a significant amount of games, like hundreds of games, where teams have scored 80 points in NCAA football. I haven't looked at it.
Well, I'm just from my memory. I'm not a big stat guy.
80
but from
points,
my memory,
you know, 80,
I remember
80
quite
points.
A few games. Oh, let's put it this way, over 60. Quite a few games back in those days with teams were very easy.
So in the early 80s, you're saying in the 80s and 90s. Now,
Billy, do you remember
because
that?
I'm calling bullshit.
Do you remember these days?
I'm calling bullshit, G. Willis. Bullshit.
Billy, do you remember these days? Am I dreaming this up?
80 points?
I don't remember teams going 80 points. The most I've seen in the SEC was Florida doing under Steve Spurrier.
You must be talking about Kobe, that one Kobe game.
Where's my
Hold
on. I'm about to do a buzz on y'all. Y'all just keep talking.
80 points?
I said from 60 to 80 points. Now I think you're doing a me tonight.
Man.
But I'll look it up for you.
You said 80 points, Billy, but 80.
The Wishbone, Nebraska, Miami, Colorado. Notre Dame, they would definitely score 60 to 80 points on teams very easily.
Well, man, I tell you, man, I just – if you're beating a team by 80 points, I really hope that you never schedule
that team again.
60
to 80. 60
to
80.
I do know this. I know for a fact that doing like – I'm going to say from like 87 to like 90, you could – I could pick – Florida State, and Miami on my parlay sheet, and they're going to outscore their team by 31 points every week unless they were playing each other.
Mm. I know Miami would.
I can believe that.
I know Florida State definitely would.
I remember that. I can
I don't remember
that.
Florida
that would be – I remember the Miami
what,
and
now, who,
the Florida days when they scored a lot of points. It's just 80 points, man.
They weren't in each other division then. I mean, they weren't both in the ACC. One of them was independent, and the other one played in the
let's see which
team. Which go? But yeah, I used to pick them every week. They'll have like a 27-point favorite, and I pick them every week. Mm-hmm. You pick three teams, and it's 6 points. You put $100 down, and you get $600 every week. They win at least by 31 or more.
Well, guys, let's move on to some football, man. We really went deep in the barbershop there, and man, we went deep, man.
Hold on. Well, I got y'all on here. Hold on. The 1988 Nebraska Cornhuskers beat Utah State 63-13. They also beat Kansas 63-10. They beat Oklahoma State 63-42. This is all the same season.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Iowa State 51-16. That's just one. I just randomly went through this one.
Who are you talking about? Who are you talking about?
You what
beat,
now?
Though?
I just read them off, Billy. I just read them off.
Yeah, I know.
My point is, it doesn't matter who they played. My point was, they were killing teams back then, and you don't see that as much these days.
80 points?
80?
He said
80. I can't stupid 80, tonight.
Y'all.
I said from 60 to 80.
Like team scores.
60 to 80.
Now, we can look back,
I
man.
I said from 60 to 80. I
okay,
right. still
so
stuck
you,
on that.
You just said
from
all
60
to
80. Go
to the championship
game. Points on A&M.
1988.
Hey, look.
What?
But the focus of it was we was talking about defense, and you said offense was better. Now, go to their championship game and see the game that they lost in the championship and see what that score was since you Googled
3-23. They lost. 3-23.
All right. Thank you.
Against
thank
Miami.
You.
What did you prove?
Like I said,
think?
Nobody.
Well, I didn't say that they were playing anybody. I said they were beating teams. My whole – okay, go back, guys. I see y'all stuck on something today.
No,
Auburn played A&M and barely scored 55 points. They barely scored 55 points.
The question was the SEC. The question was that.
Then we went off. We veered off from
that.
I know where we started. We veered off from that, and we got on this. This is my point. And I called BS
so
on that.
That you get,
and that's just one
so
team,
that.
One year. One team, 1 year.
So
Nebraska,
hey,
1988.
Oh, hey, G. Willis.
I did a Bonzo. I pulled it out.
A.G. Willis.
I also said
80 points.
You ain't got to go
was,
back that far. There
Bonzo,
are teams
from
that 60
to
80 points this week, every week.
Bonzo constipated tonight. He's stuck on stupid. 60 to 80. There are some
G.
teams that score 80. What?
Hey, G, man.
G, man. You crazy, dog. Hey, G say teams be putting up 80 in the bag.
I said from 60 to 80. He still. Look.
He said these boys out here balling like the Lakers.
Okay,
nah, boy.
Hey, Billy, man. But
yeah,
I
let
look.
Me look at Oklahoma. That's a good point.
But like awesome I said, point. There are teams you can do that every week.
Jamel. Yeah, that's an awesome point.
Well, man, I personally think, man, you know, we were kind of on defenses. And Billy Bad, what do you think, man? What do you think ACC defenses will be? You think they'll be better this year? Better or take a step forward or a step back? What do you see?
I don't know. They got to turn in all them lease cars and get some new ones if they want them to perform higher.
What?
Hey, Billy just dropped some knowledge on us.
You got to go to the oak tree if you want the water, but it ain't going to make you drink. I can show it to you, young man.
Yeah.
Hey, Billy.
Wow.
I'm gonna put the teams out there, man. And we're talking about defense now. We're talking about defense. We're not talking about offense at all. And I say the team, you just tell me, you know, back or step forward.
You know, first off, I go with Georgia Bulldogs. Better defense.
Step forward.
Or worse defense. So
step
forward. Georgia. Who,
yep.
Who do you see?
I see it collectively as a whole. One year,
okay.
I mean, he came in and didn't have a whole year to work with the defense, and now I think he's going to have a whole year to work with the guys, and they'll understand it better.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, they return a lot of – they return like 11 of their two deep starters from last year. They're returning. So I got to agree with you on that, Billy. I think they take a step forward. What about you, G. Willis?
I think they'd be better this year. I mean, they weren't great last year. A lot of those guys, I think, will mature. I mean, they have to mature, but they don't have to, but I think they'll do much better this year, especially with Kirby Smart implementing his defensive strategy of having a whole year off season to prepare. I think they have nowhere to go but up from here.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna drop another one. Kentucky. Kentucky has they're returning 8 defensive starters this year. They got one of the best linebackers in the SEC. Jordan Jones, man. Y'all check him out, man. Go look at the dude highlights. I'm talking about his SEC highlights from last year, man. The boy is a dog. Y'all check him out.
He reminds
me
of
the
guy. I think they go up as well, too. He reminds me of the guy from Vanderbilt last year, the linebacker that led the SEC in tackles.
What was his name? G. Willis? The cat from Pinson. The linebacker from Pinson last year.
Zach Cunningham.
Yeah. Zach Cunningham.
That joke attack.
Yeah, so you think what you think? They take a step forward or a step back?
I think their whole team has to take a step forward.
Yeah, I agree.
What you got, G. Willis, Kentucky?
Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, again, with coaching philosophies coming into play, Vanderbilt has been better every year. His first year was dismal. I think this year everybody's buying in. A lot of his players that he recruited are who? Kentucky?
Why
am I on Vanderbilt?
Man, I told you something wrong with you.
Okay, here we go. Let me start over. I have no idea. I didn't know they had a basketball, a football team until last week. I'm just kidding. Kentucky, man, I watched some film on that. I watched a lot. I don't know why I was on vacation watching a lot of film on Kentucky. But
me neither.
You were drinking it.
Kentucky actually has a lot of light coming at the end of that tunnel, man. I see them having another a progressive year. I'm not going to say they'll be great, but it'll be progressive. Definitely progressive. Saw a lot of – I mean, they got a running back, man. I didn't even know they had. That guy was lighting it up, man. I mean, seriously.
He gone.
Seriously,
he's talking about Boone Williams. Williams.
It was
gone.
Another cat. What number was Boone Williams?
Oh, man, I don't remember what number he was, man.
I don't
know.
I'm going to go into that. But, yeah, I saw a lot. I mean, they seem to have a bright future, man. They really do. I think that they have a good system, man. I mean, with the kind of players that they're getting, and they're actually getting some recruits. I know y'all see it. I mean, we look at the same feeds every day. They're getting a couple recruits in, man. I think they have to be better. It's only a couple teams that are destined for failure. And we'll get to that once you hit the team, but go ahead.
All right, LSU. Step back, step forward, man. They actually returned 5 defensive starters, man.
Step back.
In my
step
opinion,
back.
They have the best defensive player in the SEC, Arden Key. So, what you think they get better? Take a step forward, step back, Billy. Under Ed Orgeron. Hey, Billy. Billy did Orgeron. What do you think we do, Billy?
stay the same.
I think they take a step back, Bonzo. I know I'm next. I think they take a step back. And I know Arden Key is there. He was there last year, though. And some of their, dynamic players are not there this year. I mean, they lost some good guys. I mean, LSU is LSU at the end of the day. But, I mean, again, experience is huge. I'm not saying they'll be awful, but I don't think they'll be as great as they were last year. And they weren't as good as they were last year. I'm not going to say great.
Okay, man. Leave that one alone.
I mean, look at who they lost.
I think,
look at who they lost.
That's going to be interesting. Okay. Here's our one of the nominees for the SEC hole. This is the SEC hole nominee coming up. Ole Miss. They get better or worse. They return 6 defensive starters.
I'm an impact player.
So you think they take a step back?
Bonzo Billy, you always first.
Step back.
You know, I think as a whole, they take a step back. I think their defense, they take a step back. But they got one player over there, man, Marquise Haynes. Marquise Haynes, man, he's a monster at the defensive end position. It wouldn't surprise me if he puts himself in a position to go in the first round. But he'll be playing on a weak defense. But he'll put up some big numbers. So, that was pretty terrible last year, and it's hard to do worse than they did last year. I mean, I can. Last year they gave up over 40 points. What, 1, 2, 3? Ooh, 4 times, man. Gave up over 40 points, man. So, I don't know, man. I don't see it happening for them. G, what you got?
I would have to agree, man. I don't see a lot coming out of these teams, man, at all. To be honest. Let's talk about some teams I like, man. Let's talk about Texas A&M. What they looking like, man?
What about them?
I don't even know who's coming back on that. I mean, I watched some tape on them as well. They lost some guys. I mean, they're kind of up in the air. They're all over the place. But they actually played, behind Myles Garrett, they played pretty good ball at times. And I'm talking about on the defensive side. But who's going to stand up on this team and be a leader on defense? I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. I would hope that they would be a better defense. They've never been a great defense other than last year when they had Myles Garrett. They just hang in there with you and try to outscore you.
They weren't a great defense last year. They weren't great.
They had great moments. That was what I thought.
Myles Garrett.
Yeah,
was
they
great.
Had great moments. They made some good plays. They didn't. I mean, they were never a great defense. They were good at times when they had to be. I mean, they beat some. They stopped some good teams, and they've been dismal against some decent teams, which is the funny part about that defense. So, they're going to have to play great this year because, I mean, what did they bring? I mean, Texas A&M is going to have that type of offense because of their coach. It's going to be wide open, but you don't know who's going to be the parts that run it this year. Or would they be as good as the predecessor? I mean, that's the big thing with Texas A&M. And hopefully for Sumlin, they can put something together to save his job because I think we said on previous shows that he will be on the hot seat this year. Am I right, Billy?
So you think their defense is better?
I think they're worse.
I think their defense is better. It's going to be better on the back end, but like you said, they really couldn't stop the run last year anyway if you ran right at them. So I think that's going to give them problems. And the offense.
They had a rough time with Arkansas last year, didn't it, Billy?
Yep. But for Sumlin's sake, I hope they step forward.
Yeah, they got one of the best safeties in there. Look, not just the best safety, one of the best safeties in the SEC. They got one of the best safeties in college football, man. Donovan Wilson, man, check him out. He pretty tough, man. Armani Watts. Armani Watts is his name, man. Armani Watts is one of the best safeties, not only in the SEC but in the country. And I agree with you, Billy. I think they are better on the back end, but it's going to be tough to replace a presence like Myles Garrett. You know, when you're used to calling plays with a cat like that on your defensive end, man, I mean, someone who really just sits that edge consistently, and you lose that, things change. In fact, it takes a while to catch your breath to understand what's going on after you lose a player like that when you've gotten used to, and even as a, you know, coach and defensive coordinator, when they've got used to, you know, having that consistent force on the field for so long. So Myles Garrett did that for 3 years straight. 3 years straight, so let's see how things work, and I agree with y'all. I think they take a step back. Who you want next, G? Auburn. Let's get your favorite.
Oh, no, let's get you. Okay, go ahead and do Auburn. Auburn.
G, this you should make this one good. Let me hear the whole breakdown, G.
Okay, you want to get a complete breakdown. I was looking at some
defense.
Guys we often forget about. On defense. Yeah, I'm talking about defense now. Jeffrey Holland on defense. We haven't mentioned his name all year. I'm thinking he will have a big year this year. Nobody mentions him. Trey should do well. Was it Williams? The guy from this Mobile, the linebacker.
Yes, yeah,
I think they will definitely be better at linebacker this year. And they most of them are coming back. That's the great part about the linebacker core. Even though the defensive line they say is going to be one of the best. I just can't imagine how they can replace Adams, but I think they say they can. Adams was a beast. If you watch a lot of tape on him, that dude did some incredible stuff on the field last year. His stats didn't show it, but if you watch him, like just during the play of the game, he changed a lot of plays just with his presence, and that's you can't put stats on that. Some of the stuff that they had, or when it comes to their defensive backfield, Hosey made some very instinctive plays last year. coming off all the knee injuries that he had. I mean, that kind of stuff can't be replaced. Some guys are going to have to step up in order to come close to what that defense did, which was not – nobody thought they were going to do as well as they did last year. No one, except for the guys on the field. So, will they be as good? I don't – I think it'll be the same. I definitely think it'll be the same because they did well last year. They got beat when they were supposed to get beat by some different receivers. But they still hung in there, and they were gritty, and they were real tough. And I think they'll play hard, but I still think they'll be exposed in the defensive backfield. You got guys like the guy we got from Georgia, the safety. He's a big hitter, but he misses a lot, and he's not great in coverage. What's his name?
Trey Matthews.
Trey Matthews. I think he's definitely a big hitter, but he's definitely going to be exposed again this year when it comes to his coverage. He is definitely the guy who jumped on Fournette's back and rolled him into the end zone, which was embarrassing to say the least. So I've seen him miss a lot of tackles that definitely ended up being big plays. You can't do that. Looking for the big hit every play, you have to be able to cover and just make tackles. It can't be a big hit every time. So sometimes you have to play it safe. But cornerback play should be okay. Safety, I think we'll be looking at some damaging plays this year. But overall, I think they'll maintain. I think they'll stay the same.
Billy?
Well, I kind of disagree. I think they're going to step forward. I think the linebacking core is one of the best they're probably going to see in a long time. I'm talking about in school history. Those three guys, they got another year of experience under their belt. And the kid that you're talking about, the safety, hey, he got experience coming out this year. I think the back end is what – I think the linebacking core in the back end is what really going to set that defense apart. It's time for Coward, whatever his name is, to step up and be the five-star that he was all recruited to be. And step in and replace Adams and Lawson. I mean, somebody got to do it. And I think they're going to step forward. The coaching staff is what really changed everything with the attitude that they brought in last year. And I think that's going to transcend, just like at Kirby Smart over at Georgia, another year with these guys, going to make them hungry and going to make them attitude. Last year, it was just simple breakdowns and gap discipline that really sprung them, and then they get the head down. And he was preaching on that last year. I think it turns around this year. So I think they're one of the top defenses in the SEC this year. Will be by the end of the year.
Well, you know what? I don't know. I'm not ready to say yet, but I will say honestly, right now, I think they'll take a step. I think they'll stay about the same, man. I'm confident saying they'll stay about the same. The thing that's shocking is if they stay about the same, if the offense actually gets better, then they're going to win a lot more games. They'll win a significant amount of more games. So, you know, if they stay the same, you know, or get a little longer, they don't take a significant step back. You know, that defense did some pretty impressive things last year. I mean, holding Clemson to, what was it, 24 points? I'm not sure. I don't remember the final score of that game, but that defense played Deshaun Watson as well as anyone. It was early in the season, so I know a lot of people say, you know, he hadn't found his rhythm yet, but we all see what type of person Deshaun Watson is, and that kid never loses rhythm. He's just a straight up baller. If they just stay the same, and the offense gets a little bit better, it'll make for a good year for Auburn. So I'm gonna go with staying the same. But you made a significant you talk about a significant player, new player, Jeffrey Holland. Jeffrey Holland played quite a bit last year. He was in the two deep last year as far as pass rushers go, and they really expect him to replace Carl Lawson. Per Carl Lawson, there are some things that
Jeffrey Holland does a lot better than he can. However, Jeffrey Holland's weakness last year was he was always good at the pass rush, but wasn't really good at playing a run. So you got Paul James III, who was the defensive player of the little 8A game or whatever, spring game. You know, he's pretty impressive. Last year he got hurt real early. I think like the second game of the season. So I think it'll be interesting. It'll be really interesting. All right, moving right along. Let's go with Alabama. G, go ahead first. Does Alabama get better, get worse, or stay the same?
I think they'll stay the same. They replaced a lot of the guys they had at some of the positions, or because they're so deep. I don't really see how they can be that much better than they were last year. But, I mean, anything's possible. They should get better play out of some of their linebackers, I think. I take that back. I don't see how they can replace Reuben Foster at that. I was watching some tape on him this morning. But they have exceptional play at linebacker. They really do. You have Deron coming up the middle, Deron Payne. Who's exceptional. I think this will be his breakout year where his name is in the forefront. I mean, he did great last year, but this year I think his name will be definitely in the forefront. Some of those safeties and cornerbacks I think will be better this year, actually. Marlon Humphrey to me was definitely a liability. He was good at run support, but he was a liability over the top. I know he has that exceptional speed, but I think some of the corners they have now will make up for that. I said it, liability. How many times you get beat over the top, Billy?
A lot.
Okay, thank you. All right, so let me keep going.
Go ahead. I'm not.
You want me to finish or not? You're acting funny today.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, he messed up my train of thought, man, being disruptive, man. But, all right, I think they will be pretty much the same. I mean, you might not agree with how I see it, but I know Billy will agree with that because we talked about it several times on how bad Marlon Humphrey has gotten beat. So that's my take on it. Go ahead, Billy.
I think they stay the same. Which ain't a bad thing. Yeah, but
right.
Marlon Humphrey did give up some deep balls. Probably the five times that they ever threw that way, the time that the quarterback had time to throw it. But, yeah, he did. He did give up some key in the LSU game and in Clemson. So I don't know what Bunzo getting ready to go off on, but that was my two cents.
Man, you know, I'm gonna leave that alone. That's a totally different topic. Different topic. Marlon Humphrey as a liability. Just to kind of before I ain't even gonna go into it. Where did he get picked at in the draft?
In the first
round. Tell us that, man. What you got?
He went 16th in the 2017 NFL draft, and he's a liability? He was a liability?
I got a cool one. Where did Ryan Leaf get drafted?
I got one for you. It was one went number three to the Jets. And I think he's working out at Alabama again right now.
His name wouldn't be Milner, would it?
Yeah. He gave up deep balls a lot. Millender.
Hey, man. I think Marlon Humphrey was a baller, man. That Clemson game, I just really think he was never really out of position, man. He was never really out of position. The guy just made a better catch, man. You know, the guy just wanted it more. And I don't know what plays during the year that were absolutely, I mean, amazing. Marlon Humphrey is
a
liability.
Hey, but I'm going to tell you this, though, Bonzo. If Tony Brown never got in trouble at Alabama, Marlon Humphrey would have been playing another position because Tony Brown started as a freshman against Florida and ate it up, but just got in the doghouse and never could get out.
I don't know what game you're watching, Bonzo, but I'll leave that alone. I'm pretty sure. I don't know if we talked about this on conference call, but I'm pretty sure me and Billy have talked about Marlon Humphrey for over 10 minutes, just him on his play.
I'm pretty sure, and I recall you guys talking about him, but I've always said, you know, the cat is a baller.
He'd be in position, the CEO
of the Baltimore Ravens agrees with me. So,
well, Bonzo, let me just say this, and we'll be done with it. How many busts have we seen in every NFL draft?
We've seen a lot.
So every year.
You're saying Marlon Humphrey is going to be a bust?
I'm already
calling the man a bust.
I do you one better than that, Bonzo. Who's the president of player operations at the Baltimore Ravens?
Ozzie Newsome.
Exactly.
Pick all Alabama guys. That's what he does. All Alabama guys. Look, I think Marlon Humphrey, again, is great at run support. I've seen him stick a guy so hard. I've heard him hit somebody so hard at coming from the cornerback position, which I think is exceptional. His speed puts him
which
in the
he
play.
Did.
Just, huh?
I said, which he did against USC that first game. He's
right.
Hit that running back. Made him stop running the ball. That kid looked to lay down every time he got the ball.
The dude is awesome at what he does. But, again, I think his speed recovery gets him into play. But I have seen him get burnt several times. Several. That's my point. Right, liability.
You got to put an asterisk by it. There's not many teams through that much on him to be several.
Right, exactly. But go ahead, Bonzo. Your take on that was what? Did you complete your take on Alabama?
No, man. I think they take a step back.
Really?
A step back, but I don't think it's so far back that it's actually significant. You know, we've seen Alabama, you know, just rebuild year after year after year after year. You know, replace five stars with five stars. We saw them do that repetitively this year, man. But, I mean, year after year. However, this year I think it may be a little bit different across the defensive line. If you guys remember in years past, you would hear a lot more chatter, just a lot more chatter about Alabama's defensive line. But this year, now, they still have great defensive line players, don't get me wrong. But their defensive line isn't as deep as it has been in past years. Excuse me?
Rock Davis, you remember that name. It's going to be an absolute beast this year. Yeah, it's going to be an absolute beast.
I think they. I don't think they lose a step on defense, to be honest. They have too much, man. They have way too much. And they lost some very important players, but all those guys had guys behind them, man. And they
Rock,
also,
okay.
I
let's,
mean, they,
Let's hear.
Rock Davis, bench pressing 600 pounds, bro. I mean, Bonzo, go check him out.
Okay, let's hear him.
Isaiah Bugs.
Let me hear the defensive line.
Deron Payne.
Okay, let's talk about depth, man. Let's talk about depth. Remember last year?
Let me ask you.
Deron Payne was actually one of
two. About depth. So you don't think Alabama has depth?
What I said was, I don't think Alabama has the depth on the defensive line that they've had the last few years. They don't have
they
the
do.
Depth this year.
Yeah, they do. They always don't have eight. They always, Bonzo, always. But you can trick us into going off on Alabama again, but let's move on.
What's Florida looking like, Bonzo? We didn't touch on Florida. Florida was in the SEC championship
last year. I don't know, man. Give me an update. You guys, give me an update. What are they like?
I think they take a step back on the defense because they lose too much on the back end. Now you talking about
a lot.
You
right.
Talking about replacing some monsters?
Tabor and They lost a linebacker. They lost. You're right. They lost quite a bit. They did. But I think with the talent they have, I mean, it's still Florida. You know, it takes a Florida guy to talk about it. Florida is still Florida. I mean, they still get
they
so much talent. But they got this running back and quarterback this year. I watched some tape on him this morning, actually. The game when they played Texas was on this morning. Yeah, I was just watching his. I think they'll take a step back as well. I agree with Billy. Definitely.
I don't think the offense helped the defense out, and it's sure enough going to need the help this year with all the key holes they got.
You don't think with the running game they have this year they'll spend more time with the ball and give them more breathing time this year?
They'll have to. They will have to. They will have to help them out, but I just don't, you know. I just don't see how you replace those two corners that you didn't have to worry about at all.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So that's why that defense can line up in the box and just shut down the run game last year so much, because they didn't have to worry about nothing on the outside.
Wow. Okay. What do you think, Bonzo?
That was the best tandem. That was the best tandem in college last year. I think so.
Well, man, I think Florida plays in the SEC East. The thing about the SEC East is there's no consistency. No consistency at all. They all just kind of, the last 4 years, all the way up to the last game, the last regular season game, the winner of the SEC East has been about a coin flip, you know. You had Missouri, they won it those 2 years. Then you have Florida, who just won it these past 2 years. So playing in an inconsistent East is going to help them out some. And I tend to disagree with you guys. I think the quarterback helps the defense out a little bit more. Like you said, you know, they're Florida. They're in Florida, man. You can look on any team in the SEC, damn near any team in college football, and you're going to see defensive backs from Florida. Mm-hmm. Almost every team in college football has defensive backs from the state of Florida. And Florida still, they've been cherry-picking. The one thing that Gale Wayne has done since he's been there is he's increased the recruiting. And he increased the recruiting on the defensive side of the ball. So, you know, you got big C.C. Jefferson.
You're right.
He's another one of them cats who, you know, he's an animal, man. Big C.C. an animal, man. They got the safety, Marcel Harris. Who's that defensive tackle they got down there? What's his name? Tavian Bryant, man, and you know, it wouldn't shock me, man. If they stay consistent, if Florida stays consistent, man, Florida's gonna be right back in it again, man. So
you're saying they beat Georgia this year? They beat Georgia?
You know what, man? I'm not ready to say that, man. I don't know yet, man. So but it wouldn't shock me, man.
That's a toss-up, Georgia.
I'll tell you, Georgia's going to be a terrible matchup for Georgia. I can tell you that.
That's every year.
I can tell you that right now. Florida's going to be a terrible matchup for Georgia.
Florida-Georgia game. I agree. That's like an Auburn-Alabama game every year, too, though. You know, Florida, Georgia, and Jacksonville every year. I mean, the one that's favored hardly ever wins.
I agree. I'm glad you didn't put your foot in your mouth because I was wanting you to say it. Please say it. Who wins, who loses. But do we want to touch on South Carolina? I don't have much information on South Carolina, just to be honest with you. I'm trying to watch what they do. I know they have a good quarterback coming. I don't know too much about the defense. So I'm letting that be known up front. Some of these teams that we don't get much on. And didn't care to watch last year. You just don't know about. And South Carolina was definitely one of those teams that I cared not to watch.
Oh, man. Coach Boone, Will Muschamp, man, you know,
I know he can't stand him, G. G can't stand him.
But I'll say this, man, is he has been recruiting. He has
been that's what he do.
Serious recruit, man. He been tearing it up, man. And last year, man, you know, South Carolina was one of those teams that you just really didn't want to play last year. You didn't want to play. They went into Tennessee and won. You know, they went into Tennessee and won last year. That's not saying, you know, a lot, but, you know, that Tennessee was a good team at points last year. So,
right.
I mean, I think they're dangerous.
Right.
And once again, one thing that South Carolina benefits from is playing in an inconsistent SEC East.
Quick question, Bonzo. Quick question. How well
ahead.
Did Muschamp do at recruiting at Florida?
He did
last
great.
Head coaching job.
You know, he did great defensively. Those two cornerbacks that Billy Bad was just talking about, the best cornerback duo in the country last year.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Those were Will Muschamp disciples.
And a lot of people don't understand the year he got fired, he had 19 starters injured.
That's right. So, but I do think – I know their defense gets better this year. But even if their defense stays the same, their defense wasn't horrible last year, man. Their offense was just pathetic. I'm going to go down some of their scores last year just to show you, like, the impact that Muschamp has had in his 1 year. Okay, they beat Vanderbilt 13-10 the first game. They lost to Mississippi State 27-14. They beat East Carolina 20-15. They lost to Kentucky 10-17.
Kentucky.
They lost to Texas A&M 13-24. Lost to Georgia 14-28. Massachusetts put 28 points up on them, but they won that game. They beat Tennessee. Tennessee put 21 on them. They beat Missouri. Missouri hung 21 on them. And they lost to Florida. Florida only hung 20 on them. And Western Carolina hung 31 on them. Now, Clemson beat the trash out of them. Clemson hung 56 points on them. It was 56-7. So, I'm saying that to say their defense, you know, last year was – they were holding people under – it's hard to ask. In the SEC, it's really hard to ask the defense to hold a team under 21 points. If you're consistently holding teams under 21 points in a season, your offense, you know, should be good enough to put up 24.
Silent.
I agree.
I must put y'all to sleep, man.
Well, hey, okay. Let me let my head go for a minute. Let me try to. Oh, okay. South Carolina has been in the mix for years. I mean, Steve Spurrier was not terrible. They were actually better than they ever have been when he was there. So the athletes, I mean, they lost some athletes, I think, with that interim year when he left. But at the same time, the athletes were still there. Now, this year will be a little bit, should be better since he's had a year to recruit. And that's basically what he does. But when I've seen some of the games, and if you can look at some of the tape or even the scores, you can actually look at the scoreboard and tell how well a guy can coach sometimes. Before I get slayed on that one, I just don't think he's an all-around head coach. I think he's just still a positional or a defensive coordinator type coach and a recruiter. I think him and the guys that he brought with him to that school are definitely some of the better recruiters you're going to get. If you can get a kid to want to come to Columbia, South Carolina, and play football, you're doing a hell of a job. For one, it's not traditionally known as a football school. They win a couple of games, but I still don't see them as, again, like we always say, from your perspective as a parent, or as a high school student, would you want to go to South Carolina to play? They're doing a good job recruiting, but when it comes down to the X's and O's, just like with the guy in Tennessee with Butch, I don't think they're going to do their job. I don't think they do
that's,
what
I,
their
I
job.
I disagree, man.
You got all the opinion you want to have. And this is mine. They have
so
never shown me that
South
they can
Carolina,
coach.
As a, you saying kids don't want to go to South Carolina?
They haven't.
Man, do you see the you, type of recruits South Carolina is pulling in?
They've had some awesome, but overall.
Okay, this is
going to be a terrible contract.
If you don't recruit like Alabama, then if you don't recruit like Alabama, then
I didn't say Alabama. I didn't put Alabama in that equation. You did. I'm just saying traditionally, kids don't see a South Carolina as a powerhouse.
I think a kid should be honored to get offered from any SEC school.
Again, I get your point, but you asked me a question. You didn't let me finish. Okay, so a kid coming in that looks at tradition and looking at powerhouse schools where he wants to play so he can get that publicity that he wants to go to the next level. It's South Carolina school that you see.
I mean,
not just because of SEC
Conley.
School. Well, you
David
got Kentucky and Vanderbilt. I agree,
David
but he's from, okay. You got guys
pick.
Like that who are from South Carolina who stayed in state. I get
he
that.
He was the number one pick.
Did you not hear what I said? I agree with you. Again, you're not letting me get. You're not hearing my point because you're over talking me. So my point is this again.
Man, quit dyking, man. You girling, dude.
This is my point, and I'm trying to be calm.
Since I was over talking
you at the beginning of the show, I'm talking slower now, so maybe you can get my point. You just don't seem to get it. I text you guys some information that you could probably use while we're doing the show to prove some of my other points. But as I'm not going to digress right now.
The text. I don't read these texts. Let's read them.
Let me finish my point before you go off onto your other rant.
UTEP versus
now,
BYU.
Billy, let me ask you a question.
BYU beat UTEP 83.
Another most schools when if you're a high school recruit, if you just say for instance you're in California, you're a 5-star kid, you want to play SEC football. South Carolina is not a school you traditionally would want to go to. That was my only point. My thing is he's great at recruiting, but I don't think he's overall a good coach. That was my complete point. Before I got kind of pushed into that. But I digress.
You're contradicting yourself, though. You're contradicting
yourself. How did I do that? How did I do that?
Let me talk. I'm going to tell you. You say that if you had a child as a 5-star recruit, all right, these other schools got people playing in your position. You're going to go somewhere where you can play immediately. That's what you used to say all the time. So,
okay, you're right.
I'm talking, G.
I said you're right.
You said that
go ahead.
Alone for 3 minutes. Not so South Carolina got your position. It's in the SEC, and that's where your ass going to go. What's so wrong with Columbia?
Is the coach going to put me in position to win is my next thing I'm going to weigh out in my mind. Just like some of the other guys we know that do research in high school. Now, we know that's not a foreign concept. If you're going somewhere, okay, great, it's an SEC school. Great, I can play immediately. But are they putting me in a position to win and be on a – I mean, South Carolina's not on that – where they are on TV a lot, but they're not on as much as a Florida – Alabama. Auburn.
There's not
go ahead,
one
just,
team that's going to win every year.
There's not?
There's only one team going to win every year. You say put you in a position to win. Win what? What is winning to you?
So my thing is, does he have a – look at his record. Does he have a – is he winning any games? Florida. Let's go to Florida. Why did he get fired at Florida?
Because he was there 3 years and had 19 players hurt.
Oh, and he put, while he was at Florida, he put like 8 or 9 defensive players in the NFL.
I don't doubt that. He has the best talent. I never doubted that. But is he winning games?
Okay.
He did the same exact thing Gus Malzahn doing.
I don't like Gus Malzahn. Next subject.
Well, he's doing the same thing Butch Jones is doing.
He sucks too. Next up. That's my point. You just summed my point up. Thank you, Billy.
Kevin Sumlin.
Say what?
Kevin Sumlin.
Kevin Sumlin. No, not the same. Not the same.
Well, I'll tell you this. Last year, South Carolina flipped some players from some big-time schools. They flipped a player from Bama. They flipped a couple players from Auburn. They flipped a couple players from Georgia. They flipped a couple players from Florida. So
they also took all our coaches.
Hey, these players, you know, these players now, they want to play. They want to play at South Carolina. And we forget Steve Spurrier, while he was there, man. He actually consistently won 10 games.
You want to talk about recruiting models? Quick point. How many recruits did Tennessee get and how many transferred last year?
Some others are on the way out. I've experienced that.
So is that saying that they don't want to go to Tennessee?
That's saying that recruiting is one thing, coaching is another. Coaching and philosophy is another. His record does not indicate that he knows how to win. It only shows that he's a great recruiter, which is what Tennessee does currently. Point.
Well, guys, it's only 1 minute left in the show. The time is clicking down. Billy Bag, can you send us off?
Yeah, I don't know how many Division I colleges there are in the nation that participate in Division I football. But there's only going to be one champion at the end. And putting you in a position to win, I don't understand that concept. But, you know, as long as you develop and because in your position, your stats is held up for themselves. So you can overachieve at a Virginia Tech or a Wofford University. You can get things. So I don't get G's concept when he's talking about
that ain't what I said, but I got you. Good point, but that's not what I said.
Okay,
go ahead.
Finish up the last 30 seconds.
Go ahead, Bonzo. I did too much this show. Go ahead.
Well, man, we're going to ask for prayer.
Twisting the words up.
Where everybody's replaced the G with. Hey, he need a hug. Hey, y'all see him coming with a little heart smiling faces on his Twitter or something, because he's just mad
and
at
stop pushing.
Like,
says, hey,
man,
keep my name out your mouth. Keep my name out your mouth.
Y'all, that's it for us tonight, man. We'll see y'all on Monday. We enjoy y'all. SEC Mixtape.